Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narcheries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Way of Forgiveness, A Story About Letting Go by Stephen Mitchell is a reflective story-driven exploration of what it means to release resentment and return to a more open-hearted way of living. Known for bringing ancient wisdom into clear modern language, Mitchell uses narrative and contemplative themes to examine forgiveness not as a single decision, but as a gradual inner shift. The book focuses on the emotional and spiritual mechanics of holding on, how pain becomes identity, and how that identity can soften without denying what happened. Rather than treating forgiveness as moral pressure or forced positivity, the story approach invites readers to notice how anger, blame, and grief operate in the mind and body, and how they can be met with steadier awareness. It is designed for readers who want a humane, practical path toward peace, whether they are dealing with a personal betrayal, family conflict, or lingering regret. The tone is accessible and meditative, emphasizing lived experience over self-help jargon. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, forgiveness as release, rather than approval. A core idea in the book is the difference between forgiving and condoning. Many people resist forgiveness because they assume it means saying what happened was acceptable or that justice no longer matters. The narrative framing helps separate these concepts. Forgiveness is presented as an inner act of release that frees the injured person from the ongoing cost of resentment. This perspective makes room for healthy boundaries, accountability, and even distance, while still loosening the emotional grip of the past. The book encourages readers to notice how the mind repeats the injury through rehearsal, storytelling, and imagined arguments, and how this repetition keeps the nervous system locked in threat. Letting go is not portrayed as erasing memory, but as changing the relationship to memory. Instead of reliving the event as if it is still happening, the reader is guided toward seeing it as something that occurred and can be held with greater spaciousness. This topic is important because it reframes forgiveness as a self-protective practice. It offers a way to pursue peace without denying anger, minimizing harm, or giving up discernment about who is safe to trust. Secondly, how grievance becomes identity. The book highlights how unresolved hurt can quietly become part of a person's identity. Over time, the story of being wronged can turn into a lens through which new experiences are interpreted, shaping expectations, relationships, and even self-worth. The narrative approach helps illustrate that this identity is not merely psychological, but also social. People may receive validation, belonging, or a sense of clarity from taking a fixed position as the injured party. At the same time, the cost is high. A grievance identity tends to narrow life, making the future feel like a continuation of the past. The book's emphasis on letting go points to an alternative identity grounded in presence and choice rather than reaction. Readers are invited to examine what they gain and lose by holding on, and to see that the attachment is often to the story and its emotional certainty rather than to the facts alone. This topic matters because it shifts forgiveness from an interpersonal demand to an inner inquiry. Who am I without this anger? By addressing identity, the book suggests a deeper freedom, one that allows a person to move forward with more creativity, connection, and emotional flexibility. Thirdly, meeting pain without self-protection strategies. Letting go is rarely a purely rational act, and the book treats forgiveness as a process that involves directly meeting pain. Instead of pushing readers to be calm immediately, it acknowledges the protective strategies people use to avoid feeling blame, withdrawal, moral superiority, numbness, or constant busyness. These strategies can work in the short term, but they often keep the wound active by preventing honest contact with grief, disappointment, and fear. Through its reflective tone, the book points toward a different kind of courage, staying present with what is uncomfortable without turning it into a weapon against oneself or others. This includes recognizing the body's role in holding stress and noticing how certain thoughts trigger emotional spirals. The story format supports the idea that healing happens in moments of clear seeing, when a person recognizes the difference between the original event and the ongoing re-injury created by rumination. This topic is important because it makes forgiveness feel realistic. It shows that release is not achieved by force of will, but by gradually reducing the need for defenses. When pain is met directly, it often becomes more workable, and the desire for retaliation or endless explanation can soften on its own. Fourthly, compassion and perspective without excusing harm. Another key theme is how perspective taking and compassion can support forgiveness while still respecting the reality of harm. Compassion here is not sentimental, and it is not an instruction to tolerate mistreatment. Instead, it is an attempt to see the human causes of harmful behavior: fear, ignorance, insecurity, unmet needs, or inherited patterns. The book suggests that when a person can view the offender as complex rather than purely villainous, the inner landscape changes. The injury may remain real, but the grip of hatred can lessen. This shift can also reduce self-blame, because it clarifies that many harms arise from dysfunction in the other person rather than from the victim's inadequacy. The book's approach implies that perspective is a tool for liberation. It helps the reader step out of the narrow tunnel of us versus them and into a broader understanding of how suffering spreads through families and communities. This topic matters because it offers a middle path readers can maintain boundaries and seek justice while loosening the emotional knot that binds them to the offender. The result is often a calmer mind, clearer decision-making, and more room for compassion toward oneself as well. Lastly, practicing letting go in daily life. The book treats forgiveness as something that must be practiced, not merely understood. Even after a meaningful insight, old thoughts can return, especially when triggered by reminders or new conflicts. The story-oriented structure supports the idea of returning again and again to simple inner actions, noticing the surge of anger, recognizing the familiar narrative, and choosing not to feed it. This topic emphasizes small, repeatable steps that make forgiveness durable. It also highlights that letting go can apply to more than major betrayals. Readers can practice with everyday irritations, regrets, and disappointments, building the capacity to release before resentment hardens. A practical theme is distinguishing what can be changed from what cannot, and putting energy into choices available now. The book also points toward the value of patience, since emotional systems often need time to recalibrate. Rather than treating forgiveness as a finish line, it is presented as a way of walking. This matters because it connects insight to behavior. It encourages readers to cultivate a steadier internal environment that improves communication, reduces impulsive reactions, and supports healthier relationships. Over time, this practice can feel less like surrender and more like reclaiming attention, energy, and peace. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who feel stuck in old anger, regret, or relational pain and want a gentler, more reflective path than typical motivational self-help. It can also help people who are spiritually curious, interested in meditation or contemplative wisdom, or who prefer learning through story rather than step-by-step worksheets. The main benefit is practical freedom by redefining forgiveness as an internal release. The book offers a way to reduce rumination, lower emotional reactivity, and make clearer choices about boundaries and future relationships. Readers may find that letting go improves sleep, focus, and everyday mood, because fewer mental cycles are spent replaying the past. Compared to similar books that push forgiveness as a moral duty, this one stands out for its humane tone and emphasis on inner transformation rather than external performance. It respects complexity, including the need for safety and accountability, while still showing how resentment can quietly drain a life. If you want a concise, thoughtfully written guide to the emotional and spiritual terrain of forgiveness, and you value language that feels timeless rather than trendy, it is worth buying as a book you can revisit whenever life brings fresh reasons to hold on. If you would like to support Stephen Mitchell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.